The Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at table with Jesus. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" Judas said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, who meets us as our Creator, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and Holy Spirit, our Helper and Sustainer. Amen. A scent, a smell, can trigger memories. What scents and smells do you remember? What memories come to mind when you breathe in? During my final year of college, I worked at the San Lorenzo Nursery Company, which provided flowers and floral supplies to most of the flower shops in the Los Angeles County area, and it's located in the Los Angeles Flower District. Many of the cut flowers were stored in a very large walk-in refrigerator, and when I entered this refrigerator at the start of my workday, I was met with a blast of floral scents, such as roses, jasmine, a variety of greens, stale flowers, camellias, and so forth. And I could even imagine it right now as I'm talking about it. And this flood of scents overwhelmed my sense of smell. And if I wasn't already alert, the scent of those flowers woke me up that morning. And morning started early at the San Lorenzo Nursery Company. Or looking back, growing up in Los Angeles, I remember smoggy days, which resulted in polluted air, awful odor, and blocked the view of the mountains near our home. In contrast to the smog, I remember the days after rainfall. The sky was bright and blue, and I could see the mountains. And I especially remember, the scent of the air. It was crisp, fresh, clean, clear, alive. Or I remember a parishioner, at the end of worship, she would come forward to the altar and she would stop before entering the area behind the altar rail. And she would stand there and pause. And I would say to her, "Why do you do that? Why do you do that?" And for her, it was the scent of the candles after they were extinguished. And that would connect her with God at that moment at the end of a worship service. Memories connect with and are triggered by a wide range of scents and smells. And I think all of us have those kinds of experiences stored away. And we can close our eyes and we can think of the scent or the odor or the smell, and all of a sudden, memories come to mind. In today's reading from Luke, we recall that Jesus was in Bethany at the time at the home of Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and has stopped for dinner at the home of these beloved friends and followers. And the house was filled with the scent of good food. Think of the best homemade food you can think of from your background. That's what was going on there. And then the scent of weary travelers, drink, the expressions of friendship, love, and of course, people. And in the course of the meal, the house is filled with the unexpected scent of nard, which is a very expensive perfume. So think of whatever your favorite perfume is. Well, that's probably nard for you for today, right? And Mary has done the unexpected. She purchased a large quantity of nard. And with this perfume, Mary anointed Jesus' feet and wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. And you could start imagining what's going on here. And we don't know why Mary did this, but we certainly can speculate. We can speculate why Mary bought the nard and anointed Jesus. Maybe it was because it was to express her appreciation of Jesus for raising her brother Lazarus from the dead. Or maybe Mary did this because Jesus was her teacher, her rabbi, and his teachings inspired her. Or maybe Mary did this because of her love for Jesus. As a matter of fact, on the back of your trifold, there is an essay back there at the back of the trifold talking about Mary's love for Jesus, and that's why she anointed Jesus' feet. So if you want to read that instead of hearing the sermon, you're certainly welcome to do that. Or maybe Mary did this because she knew that Jesus was the Messiah and who is the anointed one sent to be the Savior of the world. Or maybe Mary did this because Jesus' presence just simply brought her great joy. We don't know exactly why Mary did this. I mean, our biblical text from John today doesn't say what was the motivation, but it does say that this is what she did. We do know that this was Mary's doing. Mary did the anointing, and Mary responded to Jesus' presence and his relationship with her and her family. Now, Mary's anointing of Jesus reminds us that being in relationship with Jesus calls for a response from every one of us. I mean, this is how she responded to Jesus' presence in there. And, of course, this meal that was provided by Martha and Mary and, of course, Lazarus is an expression of their love, their relationship, and was a gift to Jesus as he was on his way to Jerusalem. So in what ways do we respond to Jesus? Think about that. What is each of our responses whenever we encounter Jesus or when we think of Jesus or when we're called upon to respond to Jesus? You know, how do we express, and let me intentionally at this point, our love for Jesus? You know, how do we express our love for Jesus individually at this point? Or how do we express our love for each other? Because part of the response to Jesus constantly isn't one of those one-on-one things just with Jesus. The way Jesus operates, Jesus challenges us constantly to be in relationship with other people around us, and especially with this community known as Peace Lutheran Church, or with other people of faith. You know, that's part of this relationship, because Jesus' love is not simply one-on-one just with Jesus, but really is meant to be also shared. So how do we express our love for each other? Or it even goes even further than that. Jesus even pushes on the margins to say, guess what? It goes beyond the congregation. It goes beyond fellow believers. How do we express our love for our neighbors? You know, for all the folks outside these walls, the people we come in contact with, the person living across the street, down the road, or that person that we know over in Nevada City or somewhere else in the county. And then, guess what? Jesus pushes on that love that we have of Jesus and Jesus loving us, you know, pushes it and even says, how about the poor, the outsider, the stranger, people on the margins of society? I mean, Jesus keeps pushing us. How do we respond to Jesus, to one another, and to folks that are called our neighbors? And then Jesus then pushes us to consider our response even further out. And as I have said before, if Jesus makes a difference in our lives, then we have to show it. You know, there's got to be some way that each and every one of us needs to show it as we live our lives every day. Show it to ourselves, show it to the folks around us, show it to our neighbors and beyond. The season of Lent and this time of transition at Peace Lutheran Church are good times for every person associated with this congregation to assess and consider how each one of us has responded and will respond to Jesus. And with the help of God, the present and the future of this congregation rests on your responses. Ron was kind enough, as treasurer of the congregation, to say this congregation during the month of March responded well in terms of your monetary offerings. And that's wonderful. So keep it up, right? But then it's more than just simply money, right? We all know that, you know, in terms of our talents, our time, our treasure, and everything else about us, because we give all of ourselves, 100%, to God. Mary's anointing of Jesus reminds us that a relationship with Jesus calls for a response from every one of us. And even the unexpected response, like Mary's anointing of Jesus, is welcomed. So do the unexpected sometimes. Surprise us. Start a new ministry. Or decide that maybe some changes are needed in the congregation. Or maybe you need to make some changes yourselves. You know, I've met any number of folks who became gone into recovery, for example. And that's always a surprise when a person decides to make a choice for recovery at that point. Or a person makes a choice for life as opposed to a choice that's going to hurt them or hurt other folks. Our relationship with Jesus calls for a response. Now, when we consider our responses to Jesus, we can't help, like Mary, to be shaped by Jesus. You know, Jesus is like a potter, and I'm married to an artist, and she minored in ceramics, so I remember her showing me how to do that. It isn't easy. All right, I mean, and she, my wife likes using a kick wheel. It's not a motorized thing. It just, and I'm going, oh my God, this is really more than I can handle. Thank God Jesus is Jesus, and you don't have to be shaped by me. I mean, I'm just a pastor. Or I'm into services, not management. I leave that to Jesus. Yeah, but we're being shaped by Jesus. And the thing we always have to be reminded is that Jesus really did the unexpected. I mean, when Jesus was alive, it's amazing what expectations folks had of him, and he did the unexpected. I mean, for us who know the story of Jesus, we remember, and oftentimes we take for granted what happened to Jesus in Jerusalem. We know that Jesus was betrayed, arrested, tried, crucified, died, and was buried in Jerusalem. Jesus even alluded to this when he stated that Mary's unexpected anointing was preparation for his burial. Jesus' disciples and followers didn't expect this. I mean, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus didn't expect this, didn't expect him to die. I mean, no one expected a Messiah to die on a cross. Dying for a Messiah was unacceptable and unexpected. The Messiah was expected to overcome and defeat the oppressors of Israel and free Israel by being a warrior king. Instead, Jesus surprised the people. He did the unexpected. He did something very new for the day. It's just that we get to reflect upon it 2,000 years later. So we have come to expect this, but really, he is constantly trying to do something new and unexpected. Jesus suffered, died, and rose to conquer death rather than defeat earthly rulers and oppressors. Instead, he's going to challenge us to love these folks. Have you ever thought about that? Seriously. I mean, I'm not going to go there. No. A thought came to mind. I said, no. That's not where we're going to go on this. I mean, but Jesus, really, when you think about how politicians operate or how the folks operate in this world, they don't go, say, and love your enemies. And they don't go die on a cross for the sake of the people. Jesus did. And that's how he shapes us. That's how he changes us. That's why I think that's how Mary responded, because she knew what he was doing, just like a very good potter. He was shaping us and the world to look at the world from a different set of lenses. The cross, through death, through life, beyond death, through love. Jesus provided a way to life and a way of life based on love. Jesus took the route of the cross and the empty tomb because of his love for the world and for all humanity. I mean, and really, for all people. Jesus loved us so much that he suffered, died, and rose for all of us, for you, me, our neighbors, for people in other countries, for people around the world, for those on the margins, for the poor, for the excluded, for everyone. Jesus suffered, died, and rose so that we all can have life, to have abundant life, and to be in relationship with one another so that we can be a part of this new creation and change the world together. I get tired of people trying to tear apart these relationships. I get tired of that. What we really need is to love one another seriously and to be in relationship and to build on those relationships, because that is what Jesus was trying to do. Something different, something new, something totally unexpected. And Mary understood that, and I think Lazarus did, and Martha and his disciples eventually. The challenge we face constantly is, what is our response to Jesus for what he did for us, for the world, and for all humanity? In response to Jesus, I encourage you to come next week, because it's the beginning next Sunday, and recall the last days of Jesus' life. Next week is known as Holy Week. Recall the story of Jesus in Jerusalem. Remember what Jesus did for us and for his love for us. And recall the story of Mary's anointing of Jesus, and ask, in what ways will each of us respond to Jesus? And have you noticed, there's no one-size-fits-all in that response. Okay, I want to be clear about that. All of us are being challenged to love and to believe and to have faith and to care for one another, but it fits every one of us. And that's the choice that we get to make every day of our lives, is how will we respond and be us also, because Jesus loves each of us and loves all of us. Amen.